welcome you all to the worship service here this morning. And if you're a regular, you have a great opportunity extended to you by the speaking of our administrator, Adrian, to give. The Bible says, give and it'll be given unto you. It says, honor the Lord with your substance, the first fruits of all your increase. And so it's an opportunity to be partners here. And I'd like to commend you as a congregation over the years I've been here in always meeting the budget and always having even surplus. I want to commend you for paying off the mortgage here in 2006 and paving the parking lot for $90,000, like putting in air conditioning for probably about $50,000, and repairing the walls for another. You've done it, and you can do this. It's not a big thing, so do it. And so if you're a newcomer here today, it's you don't hear this appeal very, very often. I don't think I ever heard Adrian talk so long up there on money. But hey, he did it, and he did a good job of it, and that's good. Hey, so what do you do on your last sermon, your last Sunday, and all those emotions? I guess you don't talk about it. First of all, you try to think of something different, don't you? Well, I wore a suit here this morning, as you can see. When I came from Quesnel, way up north there, they said, you're going where? I says, Campbell River Baptist Church. They said, you better wear a suit. You better wear a suit. So we went into the Hudson Bay in Langley, Sandy and I, and the lady said, yes. And I said, I need a suit. A suit that looks really expensive, that it's not expensive. And she said, well, sir, we have some suits on sale here. They're $600. Here's a beautiful suit for $299. And I said, well, that's beautiful. And she says, what do you do? And I said, I'm a minister. And she said, we give discounts to ministers. I said, boy, that's the first time I've had that. And so she's ready to give me this big $25% discount, I think it was. And I was kind of overwhelmed with that, you know. And then she said, we like to support our government. How long have you been our MP? And I said, I'm not that type of a minister. I'm a minister of the gospel, you know. And she said, of the gospel. I said, yeah. So I said, can I still get the discount? And she said, well, some of you guys are politicians too. No, I read this, I didn't know it's people in the balcony. I thought you'd be down here, so I was going to be more homey and talk to you here, but you probably like me up there anyhow, don't you? Whoa, no one to be. Remember one time I almost fell off of there. Do you want to recognize over here this young pastor, fine Pastor Mark Miles, pastor of Converge Church in Keeley and Levi Dexter and Talitha. Let's welcome her. I don't know when the man died, but it was not too long ago. His name was Stephen Jobs, and he was the genius of computers, and he amassed a wealth of $7 billion, and he was known all over the world as the genius of the computers world, and he did so much for it. And the article went on to talk about now Jobs is gone. Steve Jobs is gone. Then it talked about also, for some reason, they brought in the singing of Johnny Cash and the comedian Bob Hope. At the end of the article, there was one line that says, now in America, you see, because Steve Jobs and the great computer industry affected so much of our economy. And so at the end, it said, now in America, there's no jobs, no cash, and no hope. Well, in the kingdom of God, there are always jobs, as you heard this morning. And there is cash. There's gold in those pews down there. And you need to give to that. And there's always hope, because our hope is Jesus Christ himself, the blessed King who came in the flesh, and the King of kings and the Lord of lords who's coming again. And in Titus 2:13, he is our blessed hope. So I want to kind of end my messages today on the theme of the kingdom of God. It's a mini-series. I It kind of began last Sunday. Hopes that back there starting on the King in April, but it wasn't to be. And I preached last Sunday on understanding the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is God's eternal and his rule and reign in the hearts of his children, in the hearts of believers. I shared with you how to understand the kingdom of God with 3 points. The first point I mentioned to you was we needed some help from Jesus. So he says, well, I'll give you some pictures of the kingdom of God. And he did that by way of parables. And he told parables throughout, particularly Matthew's gospel. But he told parables like earthly stories with heavenly meanings. And parables are stories that only those who are in tune with Jesus Christ can understand. Those who are without Christ have a hard time understanding parables. And he says, the secrets of the kingdom have been given to you. And so he gave us pictures of the kingdom, Matthew 13, Matthew 8, Matthew 20. I had a visit this week with the family, and it was kind of interesting because last Sunday I preached on the parables, and I mentioned Matthew 13. And she said, it was so funny, we got up Sunday morning and we read Matthew chapter 13, and we had no idea you'd be preaching on the kingdom. And so God was working in the people's hearts already as I spoke last Sunday on the kingdom of God. So he helps us understand the kingdom by pictures, by parables. But secondly, Jesus dropped a couple of bombs. And the bombs I call peculiarities of the kingdom. One thing he said in Mark 10 and verse 23, he said, it is very difficult for a rich person to get into the kingdom of God. In fact, he said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to get into the kingdom of God. And Jesus meant an actual needle. He didn't mean that there's a gate in Jerusalem that the camel could bow down before and somehow get through. That's, again, taking the word of God and watering it down. Jesus meant that it's impossible for a camel to get through the eye of a little needle. And so Peter was overwhelmed by this. So Peter said, Lord, that's impossible. Who can be saved? And then Jesus said, whatever is impossible with man is possible with God. But the rich are going to have a difficult time getting in the kingdom of God. It's impossible. Kind of threw him away. And then he preached the great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7. A sermon that you would do well to read each and every year. Memorize it. If you haven't memorized it, memorize the Sermon on the Mount. It's an incredible passage of Scripture, and it challenges your heart to be kingdom-oriented. So get into the Sermon on the Mount. But then Jesus really blew us away at the end of Matthew 7. And he says, not everyone, who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. Oh, hold it. Call him Lord, Lord. You won't enter. It's not enough to enter the kingdom of God. He says, many. Not a few, but he says, many. In fact, he went on in Matthew chapter 7, 21 to 23 and 24. He said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? And in your name, we've even cast out devils. And in your name, we've done many wonderful works. And then he'll say unto them, look, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. So some preachers are so deluded by the devil, they'll use the name of Jesus as some incantation for even casting out demons. And they're using the name of the Lord Jesus week by week by week, and they don't know Christ. Here's what Jesus dropped the bomb on us. The rich can't get to heaven, and the religious can't get to heaven. Well, who then can get to heaven? Well, my third P last week was the prerequisite for entering the kingdom of God. So Jesus selected, I love the people he talked to. He selected Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was a man as rich as probably any of you here. And he was as religious as you could get. And Jesus went to him in John chapter 3, and he said, Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, truly, truly, I say to you, except a man is born again, he will never enter the kingdom of God. The rich got to be born again. The religious got to be born again. Nicodemus didn't dig it, didn't understand it, John 3 and 4. So Jesus said the second time, Nicodemus, John 3 and 5, unless you are born of the Spirit, you will never see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus still being convicted by the Holy Spirit. He was overwhelmed. He was eating. He was biting. He was ready for the bait. And Jesus said the third time, he says, Nicodemus, in John 3, 7, don't marvel. I say unto you, you must be born again. That's the only way into the kingdom of God, to be born again. And Nicodemus was born again. Gloriously born again. And he became a follower of Jesus Christ. That's last week's sermon. And I need to be done by 22. So, hey, this week's sermon is to those who are born again. And the text is Matthew 6 and verse 33. Matthew 6 and verse 33. And if you're as old as I am, guess what? You used to sing that song. And you'd learn scripture by actually the actual verses from the words from the King James. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Okay. If you're not born again, you won't dig what I'm saying. You won't understand it. It'll kind of go over you a bit. But if you're born again, Jesus wants to get into you in a greater, greater way. And he says here, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God. First of all, you can't understand that. Let's go back to verse 32. The pagans run after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows you need them. The pagans run after what? All these things. Finance. Food. Fashion. Jesus says they run after that. But Jesus is saying, I don't want you to look like a pagan. I don't want you to look like a Gentile. A Gentile is someone who doesn't have God. He doesn't want us seeking finance, food, and fashion. He goes back to verse 24. He says, you can't serve God and money. It's a divine impossibility. In verse 20, he wants you to have the right storehouse. He wants you to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven that are safe there, and they have a higher yield than any investment on earth. When I was a young fella, I was about 18 or something like that, and they told me that gold had gone from $32 an ounce to 40 bucks an ounce. If you want to make some money, buy some gold. Buy some gold. I knew a guy who loved the Lord, and he bought gold. Well, when I was in seminary, turned on the news one day, and news was the gold had gone to 900 bucks an ounce. Then I checked last week in the paper, it's 1,725 bucks an ounce. Good investment, right? 40 bucks, 1965 for 1 ounce, 1,700 today. That doesn't even compare to the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, it's you have 30, 60, 100-fold. And so one genius, we have lots of accountants here, and these guys, just minds are just going to be going now when I tell them this. You probably check it all out, and I'll be wrong, but this is, I'm going by what I read, eh? So you invest 10 bucks in AD 5. Jesus is just a little baby. And you invest $10 at a rate of 4 or 5%, and so today it's worth $7 billion or more. Oh, just a little investment. You see, you've got all of eternity for eternal dividends. So Jesus is saying, don't run after all these things like financial reward and gold, because it's we're going to walk on it in heaven. It's not worth anything really in heaven. But go after the kingdom of God, because it's eternal. And so if I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God, I must seek the eternal first. I must seek the King first, Jesus. I must seek that which is God says is valuable first. I need to lay up myself treasures in heaven. Do you have a bank account in heaven? Paul said in Philippians 4:17, I don't desire wealth, but I desire fruit that will abound to your account. That's what Adrian's saying this morning. He's not desiring money, the church, but we want fruit to abound to your account. We want you to have some spending money in heaven. We want you to have a bank account in heaven. It's good to give. It's great to give. Probably this should have had a whole sermon on tithing, eh? But then you would have tarred and feathered me on the way out. But give. Always give. It's the first thing when you go to the bank with your check. Cut a check out for Jesus, first of all. Don't care what your bills are. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do that. Anyhow, seek first eternal things. That's seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's not seeking money and food and fashion. And you say, Randy, I'm hardly making a God out of food and fashion. Well, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me. Job said 23:12, I desire your word more than my necessary food. Yeah, food could be taking a grip on some of you. And fashion could be taking a grip on some of you. You say, well, hardly, Randy. I don't buy new suits. Well, hold it now. I wonder if that blouse you're wearing is God's blouse. I wonder if that lunch you're going to have today is God's lunch. You see, Malachi 3 says, if you don't tithe to God, then what you're using for your own self, you're robbing God. Check Malachi 3 out, verse 6, the end of the chapter. If you're someone who will not live on 90%, and you'll have much more money than 90% to live than you would in 100 by yourself, if you don't tithe to God, you're probably using some of God's money for food and fashion and fun. Anyhow, those weren't my notes. But what is in my notes? To seek first God's kingdom. Let's just go to the context. It's to have kingdom speech. Go to Matthew chapter 5. You're in Matthew 6. Go back one page. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 and verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then the world says, blessed are the rich. Theirs is the kingdom of earth. But here he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So it's having kingdom character. That's seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Kingdom character. Now, it's important when you look at Matthew 6:33, it's telling you to seek first two things, okay? It just doesn't say seek first the kingdom of God. It says seek first the kingdom of God, and it says seek first his righteousness. So seeking first the kingdom of God is the character of the kingdom, Matthew 5, 1 to 10. But it's also seeking first righteousness. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness, holiness, is to befit a child of God. Someone's describing you. They're writing up an article in the paper on you. Or they're telling someone about you. Do they ever use the word holiness? Do they ever say, yeah, that guy's a holy guy. You're to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. In other words, I can't seek the kingdom if I don't seek his righteousness. Go to Hebrews 1:8, please. And I always commend you for bringing your Bible to church and using it. 95% of all our pastors now, about 90%, they put the Bible on the screen. And so people eventually don't bring the Bible to church anymore. But your new pastor might do that as well. 10 out of chance he will. But hey, for the last sermon, look at the Bible. What does Hebrews 1:8 say? What does Hebrews chapter 1:8 say? It says here, your throne, O God, forever and ever, your righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because it's a scepter of his kingdom. Another verse in 14, 17 of Romans. The kingdom of God is not food, meat, and drink, Romans 14, 17, but it's righteousness, it's peace, it's joy in the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual seeking, and you need to seek what Jesus seeks. I seek first the kingdom when I seek to be like the king. And what did Jesus seek? Well, some of you know Luke 19:10, don't you? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Matthew 10 and verse 7, Jesus gave these words. John the Baptist came and he said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 7 to his disciples, and he's saying to you and I, go and preach the kingdom to Campbell River. Go and preach the kingdom to Campbell River. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you remember when you were lost? Sandy is here this morning after surgery. Trooper, doctor says don't go to church. She came. I met this beautiful young gal. And we fell in love and got married. On the day of my wedding, I don't know how it ever got there, but to the reception, somehow from the airbase, someone delivered a letter to the wedding from the Air Force Base. And so I opened this letter at the wedding, this package, and I thought, well, there's maybe some money in it or something, you know, wedding day. And it was a little leaflet, and it said, how to find peace with God. And it's from a buddy I'd grown up with in town. He sent a gift by way of another parcel, but he had this little track. Jesus knew I was lost. I need to be found. And that friend of mine chose to obey Matthew 10 and 7 to preach the gospel. And he decided to be like Jesus, who was to seek and to save that which is lost. And ironically enough, that man is here this morning. I had no idea he'd be sitting right down there. That began the ball rolling. We give our heart and life to Jesus Christ. Seek the lost. That's what Jesus did. He went and spent time with wine bibbers. He went and spent time with people. You spend time with others who are not Christians? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the priority of the kingdom. There's so many points you know that I have to make. And I can't make them this morning. But it's to be righteous. It's to practice what you preach. Jesus said in Matthew 5:19, just a few verses back in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, whoever shall do these things and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Humility is needed in the kingdom of heaven. My last point would have been not only the priority of the kingdom, but the prize of the kingdom. The prize of the kingdom. So yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm born again. I'm going to be there where the first will be last and last shall be first. But I'm going to be there to see some of you people get decorated with a medal or two from Jesus Christ. That's going to be someday. I'm going to sit down there and say, Jesus, it's a good church, Campbell River Baptist Church. They love Jesus. They love the Word. You seek what Jesus seeks. In that day, he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Let's just go to that. Let's go to Matthew. I know it's 22, so give me 1 minute. Matthew, let's go to the closing. Matthew 25. And verse 34. Matthew 25:34. The prize of the kingdom. Wow. Matthew 25:34. Then the king will say unto us on the right, Come, you who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance. What's your inheritance? The kingdom prepared for you. Really says before the foundation of the world, not since. The NIV is not infallible. Take the kingdom. Oh, wow. Wow. Just to think of stepping into heaven. Stepping on shore and finding it heaven. Taking a hand and finding it Jesus' hand. Breathing new air and finding it celestial air. Waking up and finding it home. Hearing your new name and Jesus gently saying to you, Come, you who are blessed of my Father. Take your inheritance. The kingdom of God prepared for you before the foundation of the world. An eternal kingdom, an unshakable kingdom. And you will be there forever and ever and ever. So does it not make sense for you today not to seek after money or food or fashion or any of those things? But seek Jesus Christ. One life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We know every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that you are Lord. To the glory of God the Father, but we choose to bow today, gladly. Help this church, Lord, to recognize the kingship is yours. We bow before you, the only King. Our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall come again and change our vile body when he comes, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Oh, Lord, what a day when you come again. And the full kingdom of God, you said, pray thy kingdom come now. We pray thy kingdom come. We know your kingdom's in our heart, the king's in our heart, we have the kingdom. But Jesus, we pray thy full kingdom come. And may we be found not wanting in that day, but may we be found amongst the number where you say, welcome into the kingdom of God. May it be so for this wonderful church. Bless the newcomers to the church here today. May they know it's a good church. Good leadership, good board, good people. But only because of the good God that we serve. Only because of you, Jesus. And we will elevate your word. We will serve you. We will go with you. We will seek the lost. We'll be like you, Jesus, in everything. We'll be kingdom-oriented. And thanks for the prize, we don't deserve it, Lord.